Names are important, right? They're not just significant, they can have power. So when it comes to choosing a name, a lot of thought can go into it, like what to name your child, your pet. If you're a musician, what to name your band. Now there's an existential challenge. Ideally, you want a band name that helps define your ensemble, your sound, your image. From the beginning, Simon Tam knew what he wanted to call his rock band, The Slants. Here's a taste of one of their new songs.
You paint an ugly picture of villains in discourse. It's captioned with your rhetoric, a mirror so deplored in lie. And smile. And lie, 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 and smile.
The Slants have been around since 2006. And Simon Tam, the leader of the band, is Asian American. Calling his band The Slants has gotten him into a lot of trouble. In fact, it landed him in court and eventually the U.S. Supreme Court. Tam wrote about his experience in a new memoir called Slanted, How an Asian American Troublemaker Took on the Supreme Court. Simon, before we get to your Supreme Court case, I want to hear about you. Like what makes you tick?
Well, I would like to believe that I'm driven by this inner desire to see more compassion in the world. And I've chosen to express that through art, through music, and of course, through my work in activism as well. For me, just seeing this idea realized of trying to provide justice for those who are the least represented in our society has been a driving force. And I think a lot of it has to do with my own personal experiences of receiving injustice, of being bullied and violently attacked multiple times as a kid. I just can't see other people experiencing similar kinds of things.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego, California, in the kind of early 80s.
What was your family like? What was your upbringing like?
I grew up as a kid of Asian immigrants. My dad was from the Canton region of China. My mom was from Taipei. And I grew up with an older half-brother and a younger sister. It was an interesting experience because we essentially grew up in the back of a Chinese restaurant. Like from age 8 on, I was serving customers, I was bussing tables, and I was kind of viewing life through this lens of what it was like to share our food with people, primarily non-Asians coming into this restaurant and seeing their kind of responses, seeing the interesting kind of judgments, everything from like how they, you know, dealt with fortune cookies, which is not a Chinese thing at all, to how they dealt with our spin on, you know, Chinese American food, like broccoli beef, sweet and sour chicken, and that sort of thing. I think it gave me a lot of lessons about hard work, like seeing my parents work so hard from morning to night every single day, gave me a view of entrepreneurism and drive. But ultimately, I also saw how hard it was to like operate in the society as Asian Americans, because I mean, I would see customers mocking my mother's accent, and it was heartbreaking, but she would always smile at them. And she always kind of had this idea of like, kill them with kindness. Like you always be the bigger person. You always demonstrate your values and eventually they'll come around. I think that was really, really important to me. Even though for years I felt ashamed of who I was, I kind of realized that, you know, we don't actually move the world forward through doing things out of spite or anger. We have to do things out of love and compassion.
Well, it's very interesting because it also leads to your activism around your band, around Asian American issues, and the name of your band, The Slants.
More than dark or light, or surface deep, what's underneath? Whose side will you take when both lie bleeding in the streets? See the steel sun.
Simon, how did you come up with the name of the band, The Slants?
Well, I actually had the idea for an Asian American band well before I had the name of the band. But as I started asking the people around me, all my non-Asian friends in Portland, I said, what's something you think all Asian people have in common? They would always come back to me and say slanted eyes, which I thought was interesting because, you know, first of all, it's not true. Like not all Asian people have slanted eyes, and we're not the only people on the planet with slanted eyes. But I also reflected back on my childhood experiences because it was these eyes, it was these facial features that got me bullied time and time again. And I always associated my slanted eyes with a sense of shame. And because Asians are the most bullied demographic in America, I knew that I couldn't possibly be alone in this. And I thought, what if we changed it? What if we talked about our slant on life of what it's like to be people of color and inject the sense of self-empowerment and pride into the term, into this idea instead?
When you suggested that name, what did your bandmates think? Did they instantly like it or did they think, I don't know?
People loved it. I mean, I actually had the band name before I had any band members. So as people were auditioning and I was telling them about the idea, they actually thought it was entertaining. I mean, people approached it from many different angles. Several of the initial band members also had similar childhood experiences to mine. So they just thought this is kind of a punk rock in your face way of throwing it back at people who use racism against us.
Did you get any pushback from anybody about it in those early years?
Not anyone from the Asian American community, no. People kind of understood that he was either this tongue-in-cheek reference or they just thought it was kind of a bold betrayal of Asian American culture. And I think it's also important to understand that Asian Americans had been using the term for about 30 years. We had everything from the Slant Film Festival, which was the second biggest Asian American film festival during its time period, the Slanted Kings of Comedy Tour, Slant Magazine, Slant TV. Like, it was a widely adopted term, and people wanted to use it in this kind of empowering kind of way. So, you know, it wasn't like our community was unfamiliar with the concept or anything like that.
Now, as a group, you've released albums with titles like Slanted Eyes, Slanted Hearts, and The Yellow Album. And it was titles like this, not to mention the band's name, The Slants, that led your case to the Supreme Court. I want you to read a passage from your book that describes the day the court argued your case.
Sure. The queue outside is several thousand long. It's filled with people who waited on the sidewalk all night, including professional line standers who have been hired to hold the place like they would wait for a new iPhone release or U2 concert tickets, hoping to be one of the 250 who will be able to sit inside the courtroom. That was almost me. For the weeks leading up to this day, I wasn't guaranteed a place inside the Supreme Court, even though the case being argued, Lee v. Tam, literally has my name on it. For the past 8 years, I've been locked in a battle with the U.S. government over my band's name. That's right, nearly a decade of slugging it out with the authorities because we wanted to call ourselves The Slants, an identifier that represented self-empowerment while providing a bold portrayal of Asian American culture. That portrayal made bureaucrats uncomfortable. They sent over 36 attorneys working for the Department of Justice and United States Patent and Trademark Office to silence me, fueled false rumors about my work, and put me through perpetual legal drudgery in hopes that I would give up. But I didn't. I believe that The Slants is a name worth fighting for.
Simon, prior to the Supreme Court, what did the various other courts give for not allowing you to trademark your band's name?
For many years, the rest of the kind of trademark system argued that my name was disparaging to persons of Asian descent, and therefore that it could not be registered because there was an old bit of law from the 1930s called Section 2A of the Lanham Act. That law said you can't register trademarks that are considered scandalous, immoral, or disparaging, but it has to be considered disparaging by what they call a substantial composite of the reference group. So in this case, a whole lot of Asian people had to be upset by our name for the government to deny us this registration. The problem was they didn't find a single Asian person who was actually disparaged. So they ended up relying on things like UrbanDictionary.com and using websites like AsianJokes.com to justify their decision.
And why wasn't that proof enough that the name The Slants was not offending Asian Americans?
It's a weird burden of proof if you think about it. Like, it's almost kind of degrading and humiliating to prove that you are not actually offensive to yourself, especially when you're working in the world of social justice. And so we challenged that evidence. We said, you know, first of all, this evidence is kind of questionable at best because you can't even use this in a junior high classroom. And we brought in academics, independent national surveys, linguistics experts, dictionary experts. Yeah, I mean, it became the biggest appeal in U.S. history for a denial under this law. But the government said that it was not good enough. In fact, they called my effort laudable but not influential because they basically put this impossible burden before me that I had to change somebody else's mind, a non-Asian person who thought they knew better than me or anyone else in my community what was good for us. And when you're up against a system that's designed to perpetuate its own laws and its own standards, how can you actually overcome that? Because no amount of evidence I could bring to the table would ever be enough to sway this person who thought they knew better.
And what you were really doing is what has happened many times. You were reappropriating a word that historically had been discriminatory, and you were sort of taking it on and embracing it.
Exactly. You know, and the funny thing is, like, slant has always been kind of this neutral term. It was actually racist people in the 1930s and 40s that kind of appropriated it from the actual description and kind of fused its meaning with people of Asian descent. What my community has been trying to do is saying, like, first of all, having slanted eyes is not offensive because it shouldn't be insulting. And second of all, we want to be able to use this term either in a neutral sense or in this bold, self-empowering kind of way.
The Supreme Court ultimately ruled in your favor. You could keep the band's name, the Slants. What was their reasoning?
They declared the law unconstitutional. They said it was unconstitutionally vague. And under the First Amendment, the government doesn't have the right or the ability to basically decide which kinds of speech are good and which kinds of speech are bad. Because trademarks are private speech. In other words, you as a business owner, nonprofit, or artist choose to use the words however you wish, and they become your property, not the government's property. The government ultimately can't say, hey, your speech here is not appropriate, whereas somebody else's use of it is.
What was it like for you and the band to be there before the justices?
I will say it was probably one of the most surreal experiences of my life. I mean, being there in the room, having Supreme Court justices use your name, use your band's name, and having, you know, one of the highest ranking attorneys in the country use those names is a weird experience, especially since I actually follow Supreme Court politics. But I will say that even though they were referring to me and my band, I never felt so invisible. Because the government was arguing that, you know, they were talking about a racist band, a band that was doing horrendous things to its own community. And all the while, as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, that's not me. You don't know me. You don't know my work. You don't know the fact that we actually work with over 140 different social justice organizations across this country. And that whenever the government needed outreach to the Asian American community, whether it was the Department of Defense or the White House under President Obama, they called us. They asked us to do that outreach for them. So it just seemed absurd that I was there in the nation's highest court and being called a racist in a sense. It was also weird that we were arguing for freedom of speech and I couldn't say anything. Like, according to the court rules, only my attorney could speak. And it was even more ironic that you had a room full of people arguing about what was offensive to Asian people, and the only Asian people in the room could not comment on the matter.
Simon, if you had to, would you do it all over again?
I think so. I think if someone told me what it would take, like that would take up almost a decade of my life and countless resources, that I would be on the brink of bankruptcy. If you told me that at the age I applied, where I was and who I was, I don't think I would have done it. But in hindsight, I realize how important it was to move this conversation forward. And now I have an office wall full of letters from gay and trans attorneys who felt the sting of the government's kind of, you know, the indignity of the process that they were put through when they wanted to reappropriate words. I have other people of color who've been unfairly denied as well. They have women, feminist rock bands, like out of Seattle, Washington, there's a band called Thunder Pussy. They had to endure the same process. And now I have all these letters of people saying, thank you. Thank you for doing this because I wanted to have my own voice. I wanted the ability to decide what was right for me and for my community and not to have someone outside of it, working in a government office who has no connection to these experiences, making that decision for me. So when I look back and look at all of this, I, of course, I would do it again. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody because it's a very long, tiring process. It'll drain you and it'll kind of define who you are for the rest of your life. But still, I'm glad I did it.
Musician and social activist Simon Tam. The title of his memoir is Slanted, How an Asian American Troublemaker Took on the Supreme Court. Thanks a lot, Simon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Remember counting the days, remember grasping for moments. Freedom was a digital way. Remember thinking the world close upon you like an island. Peering through, seeing through. Remember when you were
This is the song 1821 from Simon Tam's band, The Slants.
Runaway train, remember making a promise to yourself not to be cautious. Flawless and wandering.
This is The World.